is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A state of emergency in Atlanta. Water running through the streets, but not through taps in a big portion of the city. Crews working to fix broken water mains. An Israeli government official telling ABC News that Prime Minister Netanyahu's office was not informed about President Biden's announcement Friday detailing a permanent Gaza ceasefire. ABC's Britt Clendid in Tel Aviv.
Prime Minister Netanyahu's advisor Ofir Falk reiterating that dismantling Hamas and retrieving the hostages must come first.
The notion that a permanent ceasefire will kick in without us destroying Hamas and freeing our hostages is a non-starter.
Right-wing Israeli officials are digesting the news after Shabbat, threatening to resign if Israel follows through, but Egypt and Qatar adding to U.S. pressure to accept the deal.
Firefighters making progress on battling a wildfire about 50 miles outside of San Francisco. Containment increased to 30% now, even as the fire has spread to 14,000 acres. This is ABC News. A year after his plea deal unraveled in real time, Hunter Biden is due back in federal court tomorrow to begin his trial on gun charges. ABC's Mary Alice Parks in Washington with more.
The president's son facing three felony charges related to obtaining a firearm in 2018. At the heart of the case, whether Hunter Biden was addicted to drugs at the time, but lied on a federal form to purchase a revolver, 25 rounds of ammunition, and a firearm accessory. Attorney General Merrick Garland appointing a special counsel in the case.
Late casino mogul Sheldon Adelson's widow, Miriam Adelson, says a source is expected to inject tens of millions of dollars in support of former President Trump leading up to the November general election. The source says that Miriam Adelson is expected to become the lead funder for the pro-Trump Super PAC Preserve America. She's expected to top what the Adelsons gave Preserve America in 2020, meaning it'll be more than $90 million. Massive data breach at Ticketmaster. The advice, if you have an account, change your password. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Climate scientists are out with new data showing how carbon emissions are making Wisconsin hotter. Sunday is Heat Action Day. More from Mike Mohn.
A trio of organizations is behind the new report, which says in the past year, human-caused climate change added an average of 26 more days of extreme heat worldwide. Wisconsin experienced an extra 11 days. In looking at the impact on humans, Roop Singh of the Red Cross Red Crescent Climate Center notes heat waves are a silent killer.
We don't see the same images that we see when there's an extreme flooding event or hurricanes. We don't see the same images of houses being washed away, for example. But heat waves are only second to disease epidemics in terms of the lives lost from natural hazards.
The report says local governments can be proactive in short-term and long-term planning to limit these effects. Dr. Freddie Otto with World Weather Attribution says whether it's on the other side of the globe or here in the U.S., certain populations suffer at greater levels when the outdoor temperature spikes.
Especially for those most vulnerable people living in refugee camps or conflict zones, but also elderly people, people living in poor housing in general, are those who bear the brunt of these extreme heat waves that we see across the world.
Other recommendations include designing towns and cities with cool spaces in close proximity to all residents. The authors also call on policymakers to bolster safety laws meant to protect outdoor workers and to strongly enforce existing measures. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some fog, then we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine. Light southeast winds developing as highs warm to the upper 70s. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms will roll in, partly cloudy skies, southeast winds, and lows dropping to the lower 60s. It's 78 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, we kick off Biden's top 100. The week's theme is the economy, and we'll be specifically talking about the billionaires tax. Why don't we tax billionaires more?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the Todd Alba Show, where this week Todd had a discussion surrounding the stigma of mental health and how to fight that stigma by talking about our everyday struggles.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with the outstanding producer engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board, taking your phone calls as well. Talking a little bit about mental illness today, and I appreciate all the calls and texts. Really encouraging. And again, we kind of entitled this segment, it's gone into the second hour, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I'm glad that it has. I'm glad it's caught some interest here. But we entitled this, Talking About What We Don't Talk About. Because, as we've heard from many of you, mental health, mental illness is one of those things that, as Midwestern polite people, we too often don't talk about. And the more we talk about it, we realize that so many of us either ourselves are dealing with these issues, or we know somebody that is. And it's healthy, and I hope it's uplifting to talk and realize that we're all in this together.
Yes, and I can definitely say I count myself lucky to have had an unlucky older sister who went through a lot of mental health issues at a young age. So my parents, you know, figured out, hey, this is real pretty early. And so my family has been able to talk about it pretty openly, and it's not a big deal. It doesn't make you a burden to other people. Obviously, it's a big deal to you. Like, it impacts your life. But you know what I mean? Right. I just mean it's okay to talk about it. People aren't going to treat you worse. And if they are, you don't necessarily need them in your life anyway.
Yeah, exactly right. And part of what we're talking about is ending the stigma on mental health issues. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go back to the telephone. And Gene calling in from beautiful Eau Claire, listening to us on the tap in the Chippewa Valley. Gene, always a pleasure. What say you?
I think this is a great topic, and it's really needed. I mean, years ago they had started to work on this issue. They had, you know, more places for kids to go, juveniles to go, just for a while, and to get, you know, stable, and I don't like to use the word stabilized, but you know what I mean, to get assess the difficulties that are going on, look at ideas of how to approach it and new ways to maybe handle things that are stressful and overbearing and things like that. But a lot of it is shut down now, and it's even for, you know, people that may need a break from their life and to maybe go someplace and have a different environment and able to look at things differently than in their same place all the time. There's so many great things about mental health therapy. There's all kinds of therapists. There's cognitive therapists. There's cognitive behavioral therapy. There's group therapy, and there's all different ideas for different people who maybe work out their problems in different ways. But when things are getting overloaded and it's like, oh, I can't deal with this anymore, you got to pick up the phone. You got to call those numbers and tell people, yeah, you know, today's a really, really tough day. Right. And knowing that you will do better tomorrow. You will do better. Sometimes everything just loads up. People go through different things in their lives, and it just feels like, I can't take no more. I can't take no more.
Yep.
Get to that phone and call, because people do care, and you can beat this, and you can normalize your life. Because right now, I've never seen the stressors out there.
Right.
I've never seen, I believe a lot of people have post-traumatic stress disorder of all the things they've been through.
Yeah.
And now it's like you say, we're all in this together, and we will work on this together, and we will beat this together. And pick up the phone, use the numbers, don't be shy. This is very, very important. People go to the podiatrist, I think, for their feet, and they go to a surgeon for surgery.
Yeah.
And the brain controls a lot of things, folks. And your body can make your brain a little different, too. But there's lots of hopes, tests, and things to help. So thank you very much for talking about this. I really appreciate it. Have a great day. Great topic.
Thanks,
bye.
Jean. Have a great day as well. Thank you, Jean, for calling in. Jean makes so many great points. Just the one thing, she said it well. If you had a problem where you couldn't walk, if your foot was sore, and you're like, well, geez, this isn't good. I got to go to a podiatrist. If you go to a podiatrist for your foot, then we have to get all of us, including myself, get into the right mind, pun intended, the right mind frame of saying, well, if I go to a podiatrist for my foot, there's nothing wrong with going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist or someone for my brain, for my mental health as well. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. 4842, Greg, listening to us on the Shaw in beautiful southeast Wisconsin in Waukesha. Greg, thank you so much for calling in. What say you?
Hey, Todd. I just started listening this hour, and I wish I would have caught the last hour, but I can catch it on podcast, I'm sure.
Sure, absolutely.
But this is a great topic. And what I want to say is I want to say two things real quickly. I work at Carroll University, and I also volunteer there. And a lot of times I'm drawn to students who have mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of my mottos in life is health care is self-care, however I say it.
But, that's really good.
And
I
that
like
includes
that.
Includes mental health.
Yeah.
And what I want to say is, so I just had a student, and I'm not going to give any other information, but a student send me a text message. Mental health on top of rather routine problems,
mm-hmm.
the mental illness can complicate those routine problems. So much that people don't know where to go, and that open lines of communication is the key to that, to dealing with that. So
mm-hmm.
even if you don't know if someone has a mental illness, you know, say, hey, let's call or text. Let's check in. You know, check in on your neighbors. I think that's a lost thing. Check in on your friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think we get so caught up in what I call our anti-social media that we forget, you know, Facebook and Twitter and other things, that we forget to do things like that. And the other thing I just wanted to say really quickly is Carroll University, and I think I heard about this on the Shaw, Carroll University, for those living in Waukesha, has a free mental health, free counseling for anyone dealing with mental health issues.
That's awesome.
Also, remember those phone numbers, 211 for counseling, 988 for, you know, if you're feeling suicidal. Those people are there to talk to, and those are three-digit numbers that are accessible in, you know, most areas. So even in some rural areas of Wisconsin. So, Todd, thank you for letting me call in and, and share. And
thank you. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Close to home, so
really
good.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening. Yeah, you can catch the first hour on the podcast. Mr. Zomers is always great about getting it up shortly after the show here. But yeah, just to recap, we're talking about May being Mental Health Awareness Month. And according to the National Institute of Mental Health, America has this triple crisis right now in mental health. Number one, a youth mental health crisis. Number two, crisis of serious mental health illnesses such as bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. And number three, an ongoing crisis of addiction and substance use disorder. We went through some of those specific things and now kind of focusing on the stigma part of it, the fact that too often there's a stigma around it and that we don't sit and really deal with these things of how to end stigma. I want to pick up, Greg had a lot of great things there. Number one, I love healthcare is self-care. I mean, that's like Oprah good. Right? I mean, healthcare is self-care. I love that. And number two, what he said, the other thing that really meant something to me is he's so right. We forget to check in on people. I remember my paternal grandmother, you'd call her and you'd say, Grandma, how are you doing? And I knew within 10 seconds how she was really doing. I said, Grandma, how are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm doing well. Or she would say, I'm doing good. I'm good. But if I got pretty good. I knew that things weren't well at all. And so we've lost, and this is one of the reasons why I, as a 54-year-old, oftentimes detest texting and chats and all this stuff, is because people read into it what you wrote in their own voice, in their own emotion, in their own head. They don't hear your voice inflections or how you intend something to be read. And there is, in my opinion, something really good and healthy about picking up the phone or better yet, just seeing someone and saying, how you doing? It's a simple question that you can be very powerful and unlock people and get them to talk and to open up.
I wanted to say something with that too, like along those same lines, besides just asking the question, when you are asked the question, just try to be a little more honest and really think about it. Like, if somebody asks how you're doing, don't just automatically say fine. I mean, if you're just bumping into someone in the grocery store and trying to move along with your life, sure.
I'm guilty of that.
But if they're your friend or if you're a family member and you're actually staying and like spending some time with them, actually think about it and answer the question. Yeah. Like, you know what? I am doing well today. Or like, you know, it's been a little rough. And maybe it just starts there and maybe eventually you can open up more and they can open up more.
Off the text line, feel free to text us on your Apple or Android device on the Civic Media app. Let's go to Matt in Middleton, listening on WMDX, says, one of the more difficult issues with mental health is that once you've received help and are on medication, people feel better and sometimes don't take their medication. They believe they're better when they're really not. That can be a constant struggle.
As somebody who worked as a pharmacy tech, I saw that a lot.
Yeah.
Take your meds as directed by your doctor, please.
Yeah. And we'll get into this in a bit, but also it's not all about medication. It's also about just kind of living a healthy lifestyle and surrounding yourself with positive people. Take more of your phone calls. Talk more about Mental Health Awareness Month as we round out the month of May. And we will get into ending the stigma. We'll go through all these things and give you some hope on the other side. It's the Todd Allbowles Show for a Thursday. Stay with us now right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbowles Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, let's tackle a big question in a short amount of time. How much money do you need to save for retirement? It's not the same for everybody. If you think 10 times your annual pre-retirement income, that's in the right ballpark. But what is pre-retirement income? And how do I save that much money? Okay, don't stress about the big number. The simplest and most effective way I know is to save about 15% of your income each year. If you're starting later in life, like in your 40s, you probably have to save more than that 15%. But the bottom line is, start saving now, as much as you can, and put it in retirement accounts where it can grow. Some savings is always better than none. Now, there's an awful lot more to say about this topic, which I did over on my YouTube channel. You can check it out if you want to dive in deeper. Search for Work Money Media on YouTube. Till then, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Mino and the Mayor, where this week they welcomed Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press-Gazette. He discusses coming to the United States from Cuba and his writing for the Gazette on businesses in the Green Bay area.
Hey, welcome back, Mino and the Mayor, Tuesday morning, 97.9. FM WGBW 98.3 FM WSS, and of course the Civic Media app. Ariel Perez of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us this morning, a native of Cuba. Did I pronounce that right? Because everyone says Cuba, but there is Cuba, right?
Cuba.
Y
República Dominicana.
Exactly.
Dominican Republic.
Thanks for not trying that, John. Thanks for not trying that one.
Let's, hey, Todd, we'll stick with Cuba. Quiet over there, okay?
Stick with Cuba.
Wow. What did you think when, you know, your wife is from here, but Packers bigger than you thought, not as big as you, what did you read?
I'm going to be honest here. I didn't start watching NFL until 2018 when I met my wife.
No kidding.
Oh my God. I'm a soccer guy. I'm a soccer chess player. And I, you know, American football wasn't for me. I thought it was too slow. Now I love it. I finally got the hang of it, and I've been learning all these years. And I got to tell you, my first game at Lambeau was very special. It was snowing, it was cold, but it was very fun. I have friends in the DR who are Packers fans.
No kidding.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I...
You told me you're here. And then send me this, get me that autograph, right?
Yeah. And I got one friend, Chicho, we call him Chicho. He has a cheese head and everything.
No kidding. Oh, in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's all in. All right. Hey, so on the... You like the restaurants, right? Yeah. You cover that beat. Where do you think we need to go with our restaurants? You think we're getting too much the same? Do you think we're diversified enough in our restaurants? Any suggestions you have? I mean, you've been pretty much around the world.
It's a good question.
I think, well, you know, we're getting new stuff. We just got a Turkish restaurant in Ashwaubenon.
Todd loves a place in Appleton that's Haitian.
Caribbean 509. Area 509.
Okay, great. I went there actually last month, and it was very good. It took me back to the Dominican.
He sat in that Todd chair. We interviewed the guy. Yeah. And he's,
hey, Todd?
Yeah, probably too much because I've been going back and back.
I saw your
back.
Facebook thing. You were going back for their big special thing. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we have a lot of Mexican food here.
Yeah.
I will like to see maybe more, you know, Caribbean food. We still have a little Jamaica and stuff like that. But we have that Puerto Rican place on Military Avenue. Antojitos Puerto Rico.
Oh, I didn't even know that, to be honest with you.
Good food, too.
I'd love to try that.
And the owner is great. He doesn't speak very much English, but he's a great guy.
But part of that's the fun of going to that, because you can learn a lot about a country through their food.
Yeah.
To be the face of the business is good for two reasons. One is, you know, you're taking care of the customer. Secondly, you're watching the inventory and the money. So... So you think we're doing all right in terms of what we're doing with restaurants?
Yeah, I think, you know, eventually restaurants would have to get less dependent on you know, servers. You know, there's a lot of places in Europe where the guy's cooking right there and you go with your tray and you tell him what, similar to like Fresh Kind and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I think that would be a good way to tackle that lack of employee, lack of staff, or the struggles with staff. Of course, for traditional places like Mexican food, you know, they still have like to have that service, let's say. And I think it's a way to, you know, pay less when you have servers because they can get tips.
Let me ask you this, though. What would be Cuban food?
Cuban food is very...
I love a Cuban sandwich, if that makes any sense. Yeah. But is that
There's a new food truck now, Rolling Cubanos. Shout out to Zach. He's a good guy. He's not Cuban, but he's
you know about this, Todd?
He's learning, and I talked to him the other day.
Is it Cuban food?
It's Cuban food, but it's what he really makes really authentic is the sandwich.
The Cuban sandwich? I love Cuban sandwiches. They're amazing.
I think this text is hilarious that just came in.
Hey, wait a minute. This guy is a chess player, and he says the NFL is too slow? LOL.
Well, I play speed chess.
Too. Oh, yeah, sure you do. Chess,
okay.
That's still slower than the NFL.
You have to understand our listeners, though. They're a little out there.
It's okay. That's fun. But Cuban food is, you know, we eat a lot of rice.
Yeah,
black beans, any meat, could be chicken, could be steaks, could be, bacalao, like fish.
Bacalao
is...
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
When I grew up for Easter, polenta bacala. It was polenta bacala, but it was cod. We had cod. The bacalao was cod.
Yeah, cod. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Very salty cod.
Yes, that's something too.
You ever polenta bacala?
I don't think so.
No?
And then tostones, which are smashed plantains.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
But it's like a cracker.
Oh, my gosh. They're so good.
But that's funny when you said bacala. Yeah. I grew up with bacala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The businesses that fail, and you cover those as well as the ones that open. Yeah. Why do they fail in our community?
Well, I think the main driver of failing is staff. I've seen that... all the time, many businesses just say that, like, you know, I couldn't find staff.
Right.
I've been struggling. And I'm guessing, too, in some part, the costs. Sometimes when you don't get a lot of clients in your restaurant.
The overhead.
Yeah. And you're buying, you're still, you know, you have a lot of inventory and you lose a lot of money because of, you know, you're not selling. Well, you failed.
I don't mean to make a blanket statement on a certain generation or anything like that, but I will say this: I'm old or whatever. But it's like I would never have like quit a job and like just not show up or whatever. And I've talked to so many restaurant and bar owners where it's like you've got, and even construction type things where it's like somebody just doesn't show up, and it's like, where's Nancy or Bob or whatever,
yeah,
and they just took a different and didn't even say, they just left.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a
I've heard that too.
What's up with that work ethic happened?
Yeah. I mean, there's some things too, like, it's tough for new business owners when they don't have, they have to pay rent, for example. They have to pay a lease, and then they're not getting enough sales.
So they run out of cash. I mean, that's what they do. They just run out of capital. Yeah.
A big brand. Like I said, he teaches classes. If you don't have a huge capital reserve, you're not going to succeed.
And people, they get through their first 6 months, 8 months, because they have capital, right? The bank gave them money. But then they say, well, then 8 months, the sales will be kicking in. And if sales don't kick in, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. For example... I don't know if you know this place in Suamico, Hot Sake and Sushi. The owner, Juan Sanchez, is a Mexican guy. He told me, I made a lot of investment in this place because I couldn't get a loan because I don't have any credit. And I'm hoping that in 6 months, I'll be okay, you know? And now I talk to him again, last week, because he's changing the menu, and I asked him, how are you doing? He's like, oh, we're doing great. We got a lot of people. I'm changing the menu because I'm taking in advice from other people.
Good for him.
What they want.
Listen to the customer. Absolutely. He'll be fine.
Adio Perez. Green Bay Press Gazette. You are fascinning to talk to.
Thank you.
You do a great job of writing, but you're coming back. I don't care what we have to do. We're getting you back.
Okay.
Thank you for being here. Malaine Wells, Channel 5, joining us.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9.
To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A state of emergency in Atlanta. Water running through the streets, but not through taps in a big portion of the city. Crews working to fix broken mains. An Israeli government official telling ABC News that Prime Minister Netanyahu's office was not informed about President Biden's announcement Friday detailing a permanent Gaza ceasefire. ABC's Britt Clendid in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, it's exciting. We'd love.
Well, Britt said that Prime Minister Netanyahu advisor Ofer Falk reiterating that dismantling Hamas and retrieving the hostages must come first. The notion that a permanent ceasefire will kick in without us destroying Hamas and freeing our hostages is a non-starter, says the official. In California, firefighters are making progress on battling a wildfire about 50 miles outside of San Francisco. Containment has increased to about 30%, even as the fire has spread to 14,000 acres. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers get the sweep.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers beating the White Sox at AmFam Field this afternoon. The final score 6-3. It was a tight ball game, 4-3, until Gary Sanchez with men on base came up to bat in the eighth inning. Brian Anderson with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Previous deal. Sanchez, a little cue shot. It's going to fall. A base hit. Adamas is in. Frelick is in. And Gary Sanchez comes through again. Sanchez drives in a pair.
The White Sox have now lost 11 in a row. The Brewers head to Philadelphia tonight to open a series tomorrow night against the Phillies. NFL, Green Bay OTAs continue this week for the Packers, and Jordan Love says, yeah, he gets it. Both fans and the front office are confident the Packers could do well this year.
You know, it helps every player, I feel like, when you have that belief in the organization and guys around you that, you know you're going to be here. It does help you be more comfortable. But I think, to me, the game's coming to me easier, so I definitely feel a lot more comfortable.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some fog, then we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine. Light southeast winds developing as highs warm to the upper 70s. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms will roll in. Partly cloudy skies, southeast winds, and lows dropping to the lower 60s. It's 78 at our studios.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next show, Brittany Merlot joins us to give us a look at the weather for the week ahead.
And John Plegman from ARDC of Brown County stops by to talk about sobriety night. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. Next, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, where this week Pat welcomed Mike Stranz and Hans Breitenmoser to discuss the plan of Republicans in Congress to cut SNAP nutrition benefits in the next farm bill.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio. It's dog day. I didn't realize that, Aurora's in the studio with Luke, and Hans has got a friend over there. Morning, Hans Breitenmoser. Who's your friend?
This is Fern.
This is who? I'm sorry?
Fern.
Fern. Okay. Hi, Fern. What kind of dog is Fern?
She's a Great Dane.
Great Dane. Okay. I can just see the nose and the face in there. Very friendly. All right. How's your field work going up there?
What field work, Pat?
A little wet?
Well, it's wet. It's very wet. We did get another 38 acres of corn planted on Saturday afternoon, evening, and just before it started raining again. And, of course, Sunday it rained, and yesterday it rained. So, yeah, it's tough.
Rain came down. Yep. Thanks for taking a break from the waiting while we talk about the farm bill, which we know continues to be about 7 months late at this point. Still got to get done this year. And you brought along again our friend Mike Stranz, Vice President for Advocacy from the National Farmers Union. Mike, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Hope you had a good long weekend and that things are nice on the lake.
Things were beautiful on the lake. Not for me, outboard engine conked out, but we'll see if we can't get that fixed up. And
that's what oars are for.
That's what oars, yes, on that pontoon. It'll work so well.
Come on, Mathers, Pat. Yeah. I want to see you try to get the pontoon going with an oar. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Mike, let's get a reset on the Farm Bill, which is a massive program. It is designed to attract bipartisan support because it has to be both rural and urban. There's farm programs. There's nutrition programs. There's conservation programs. These things determine the markets, exports, everything. It's designed to reach consensus. And yet this time around, between House Republicans calling for cuts and Senate Democrats looking for investments, things aren't looking great from Chippewa Falls, but how are they looking from the National Farmers Union standpoint at this particular point in time?
So last Thursday night and early Friday morning, the House Agriculture Committee had a markup of their draft version of the Farm Bill. That hearing, that markup went for about 13 and a half hours, and at about 1 a.m., they voted on a 31 to 22 vote to approve or to pass their bill out of committee. And it would include cuts to nutrition. It would repurpose some climate dollars away from climate programs and use them more generally in conservation and elsewhere, and make some other big changes, including some adjustments to the farm safety net. So the House committee has moved. Now it's time for the Senate Agriculture Committee and the full Senate to take action. So we've got some work to do.
Before we hear comments from Congressman Pocan and congressional candidate Katrina Shanklin, Hans, wanted to get your thoughts on what you've been reading up on in terms of the House Ag Committee markup and the differences in viewpoints, shall we say.
Well, I don't know. We've had this conversation before. We know that the Farm Bill is a big, important thing that a lot of people don't understand how much it impacts, the lives of people in our rural areas. And you've got, one chance to get it right because it lasts for a few years. So moving the needle on conservation and on climate and on the nutritional side, it's very important. And to eliminate some of these programs and to reduce them is a little ridiculous. And this all goes back to on the farm side of things, on the production side of things, we talk about antitrust legislation and what it's doing to the rural economy. Some of these safety nets are needed very, very much so because of the fact that we don't have the political will to move the needle on antitrust legislation and change some of the ways that we, pay for some of the ag products that we all consume.
Yeah. And so it's what led to a press conference on Friday from Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan, a Democrat who has endorsed Democratic candidate and State Representative Katrina Shanklin. Representative Shanklin is one of three Democrats looking to run against Derek Van Orden, along with Rebecca Cook and Eric Wilson. They will all square off in the August primary. But Mark Pocan brought Katrina Shanklin along on Friday's presser, in part to take on something that Derek Van Orden's been posting, saying that the Democrats on the House Ag Committee are flat out lying about the farm bill. We are not cutting SNAP benefits. And so in the press conference, I asked Congressman Mark Pocan to explain to Congressman Van Orden what exactly constitutes a cut in SNAP benefits. And here's what Congressman Pocan told me.
This is, the classic Madison, Washington, Kabuki dance when it comes to talking about this. But real people get it way more than politicians. So Derek is, again, saying there is no cut to the SNAP program. But for the next 5 years, there will be no increase to the SNAP benefit. Now, unless Derek is going to figure out how to magically make sure there is no inflation in the next 5 years, if you get $6 a day, and in a year you still have $6 a day, and in 5 years you have $6 a day, milk is going to go up and other commodities are going to go up, and you will be able to buy less and less because of a specific provision the Republicans have that doesn't allow for any increase in benefit. In addition to it, there is a cut to the summer EBT program that does help kids who won't be in school, who normally would have got free or reduced lunch. So that is the specific language why, it only a politician would say it's not a cut if in a year or 5 years you can buy less with that amount of money, because I'm sure Derek will somewhere claim that there is inflation going on, and I will agree with him, there is inflation going on, but if there is and you don't address it, you clearly know what you're up to.
So Mike Stranz from the National Farmers Union, not looking to put you guys in any kind of a partisan box necessarily, but where I'm getting at is the notion that you can't just be talking about real dollars and ignore inflation when you're talking about the farm bill and the things that are in it. And I would like to think that you and others just want members of Congress from both sides to be more forthright, a little more honest about what's happening with those dollars year after year after year.
Well, the farm bill is a chance to make updates to programs. But when the main savings or the political push seems to be behind making cuts to nutrition programs, we're starting on the wrong foot right away there. So to cast this as the farm bill needs to cut nutrition in order to pay for other programs, just that's a non-starter politically. It got through the committee, sure, but that sort of approach isn't going to work on the House floor when a bunch of Republicans are going to vote against the farm bill no matter what, and it's not going to attract many Democrats, if any, on the House floor when it comes to a vote like that. So making that assertion that it's not a cut when there's clearly a reduction in benefits going on down the road, that's not a good way to start building a bipartisan bill.
No, and it is something that we've seen consistently. The other cut I want to play from Friday's press conference is from State Representative Katrina Shanklin, candidate for Congress, when I asked about the SNAP program, because people I think quite unfairly go, oh, you mean food stamps for all those, urban families, and that it doesn't do anything for us. And the numbers clearly show otherwise. And this is what Representative Shanklin had to say. And then Hans, we'll come to you.
In terms of rural communities benefiting from SNAP, we know that for every dollar we fund in SNAP, it generates almost $2 in local economic activity. And a lot of that really creates local jobs in rural communities where the economy is strengthened, I would say, dually by that extra $1 or $2 in benefit from that $1 investment. These are places where they may not have large manufacturing companies or processing plants, but when we have that spending at the local mom and pop Main Street grocery store, we know that that doesn't just help the family who's being fed, but also the supply chain within the community, from the business to the money that they're spending in other businesses on Main Street. And so I would say, SNAP is incredibly beneficial, not only to urban and suburban communities, but rural. That's why there's such a strong coalition of both Democrats and Republicans strongly supporting it. It covers the majority of the farm bill. There is a reason it was intentionally the farm bill has always included SNAP first. And it's because that's how you get the votes to support agriculture and food security in communities across Wisconsin and the country.
Right. And so, Hans, again, it is just being mindful of this needs to be an example of how the best of us that we're supposed to see in elected office work together. And I don't think we're seeing that right about now.
No, I don't think we're seeing it either. And it's so important to, this is where we really need to be seeing it, because this is such a big deal and such an important thing for rural communities. And I think, you know, as was stated earlier, we need to look at these dollars as investments, because they not only help the people who are getting them, but they help the communities that they go into at the ground level. It's the best way for public-private partnerships to work is when that money gets close to the ground, because it will get invested in those local areas.
It's noted in the Hill that big lobbying groups have spent $400 million so far lobbying Congress on a new farm bill. Rebecca Cook noted it in a post that said, we need a farm bill that delivers for family farms in communities across Wisconsin, not one built around subsidizing agricultural conglomerates and prioritizing corporate profits. Now, as Congressman Pocan told me on Friday, again, this particular farm bill fight, Mike, is not focusing on monopoly power and things like that. It's about all these other programs and getting them funded. So, Mike, from a National Farmers Union standpoint, you know, what's the best case scenario going forward?
Well, like Hans said before, we need to get at the monopoly issues that make so many of the other factors in agriculture so much worse by building volatility when you've got just a few companies controlling big chunks of the marketplace. The House bill that made it through committee this week didn't touch that, didn't do anything to try to address those monopoly competition issues. The Senate side, however, does have some language in their farm bill that would put greater emphasis on enforcement of the Packers and Stockyards Act, put more enforcement of ensuring there's competition in the seed sector. Things like that are included in the Senate bill, or the draft that we're hearing about, and are not part of the House bill that passed last week.
You know, one of the things that we discussed on Friday is the way the Biden administration has really tried to act as on behalf of consumers more than pretty much any recent administration in memory, in terms of going after things like excess credit card fees, junk fees, ticket fees, all kinds of other things that have that kind of monopoly power attached to them that drives up cost for consumers. It's not big and flashy, but it's effective in showing that you're fighting for the consumer. Is that something that either the Biden administration is currently messaging or something that they could be doing to look pro-consumer in this farm bill fight, or are they simply letting, you know, this play out between the House and Senate at the moment?
I think there's a big emphasis across the administration. I don't think there is a big emphasis across the Biden administration to go after the monopolies. And there's a lot of supporters out there and enthusiasts for this out there as well. Farmers Union was just part of an anti-monopoly summit here in Washington last week, where we heard from the chair of the FTC, the chief antitrust enforcer of the Department of Justice, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau head. There's a lot of initiative within the administration. They've made some strides towards this. We've seen it in agriculture, and you see the headlines in other sectors of the economy too. So it's not as much part of the farm bill as it should be. And we've been calling for a competition title in the farm bill, and we hope to see elements of that rise up in the Senate version.
Because if it doesn't, again, this is an every 5-year thing, and we have no idea what Congress or the White House is going to look by then. So the House Ag Committee had their markup. We know Senate Democrats told us what they want to be in their version. Has the Senate Ag Committee done a markup yet?
Not yet.
Would that be the next step then?
That'd be the next step. We're hoping to see that later in June or into July.
No, I really thought this might be ready earlier instead of getting dragged, you know, closer and closer to the conventions and the presidential election. But at this point, we're just going to have to stay on top of it and see if we can't get two sides to work together on this. Mike Strands, Vice President for Advocacy for the National Farmers Union. Mike, always great to chat with you. Thank you so much for taking time with us.
Thanks, Pat.
Hans Breitenmoser up in Lincoln County. Hope you get back into the field real soon.
Me too.
Wish you all the best. Thanks for being here this morning, Hans.
You bet. Thanks a lot, you guys. Appreciate
it. All right. Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio is going to join us, tell us what's next on his show on the Civic Media Radio app and in the Wausau area. Coming up next, you're up north.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Max Inc. Radio.
His voice is a dream. Coming up, Eau Claire musician Brian Bethke joins us live for an in-studio concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rucker, and Jimmy Kay.
Weekend evenings, 6 until midnight, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays, 10 till noon, on the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Go now to the Earl Ingram Show for Civic Media Spotlight. This week, Earl discussed an Oklahoma law allowing police officers to stop and question anyone they think looks like an illegal immigrant.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. You know, I don't know what's in the mind. Well, I do know what's in the minds of people and why they do the things they do. There's always an underlying reality to why they do the things they do. But here's the law. And this is in USA Today. You would think that when a group of Oklahoma police chiefs condemn a law that Republican lawmakers would listen. But you would be mistaken. Instead, Republican Governor Kevin Stitt signed a law that critics say will allow for blatant racial profiling and the targeting of marginalized communities in a rushed and poorly thought out effort to solve the nation's immigration crisis. When it takes effect on July 1st, House Bill 4156 is poised to breed paranoia among neighbors and sow distrust of law enforcement. Oklahoma leaders recently created a new imaginary crime called impersonable occupation. Impersonable occupation. It allows local police to arrest anyone they suspect is in the country illegally. First-time violators face jail time and have 72 hours to leave the state. Repeat offenders will face prison time. So basically, we won't deport anyone, but rather we'll push our challenges with undocumented immigration into our neighboring states. Lawmakers spent considerable time laying out their position in the law. So let me see if we have it right, Calvin. Some Hispanic person or looking Hispanic person walking down the street in Oklahoma, and some law enforcement officer sees the person. Oh, they look like an illegal immigrant. And law enforcement then can detain them just based on what they look like. Where are we going, Calvin?
You know, it just, it doesn't make any sense. It's backwards. It's reminiscent of the old stop and frisk law that they used to have. I think it was in New York.
Yeah,
where they could just stop anyone that looked suspicious for any reason they wanted. And I believe that was thrown out by a court.
Yeah, it was. And so law enforcement doesn't want any parts of this. You know, they know what it's going to lead to. They understand that. But yet these representatives have created this, and based on what? A boogeyman kind of thought process that permeates state legislatures across this nation. Well, we know there's so many people that have come in here illegally. We're going to take this into our own hands, and we're going to protect our own states. How can you tell who an illegal immigrant is? So just based on how somebody physically looks now, we are going to take that and go to the next step and interfere with what? Their constitutional rights. And how many more slippery slopes are we going to go down in this country before somebody says, hey, man, let's get a grip on what's taking place in this country. Please, please, let's get a grip on it. But to be able to stop people based on what they look like, I thought we had gotten past that. You know, our nation has a checkered history. For those of you who've forgotten or who don't know, let's not go back down that road. But a bill like this takes us back down that road. You know, and you would think that even if some deranged person who came up with the thought that those in the legislature in Oklahoma, somebody would have had enough common sense to say, no, man, can't do that because of what that looks like. But people didn't have the courage. Didn't have the courage to stand up for what's right. This is not right. It's not right. And it's just another one of those things that, you know, many of us have thought we had gotten past. We have not gotten past it. Because here it is, you know, May 29th. 2024, a bill like this passes the legislature in Oklahoma and becomes law. You know, what's going to be next? You know, who's going to come up with something even more outlandish than this? Or what's the next state that's going to adopt that? We're headed down the wrong path. And the people who are leading us down that path happen to be, you know, Republicans. I'm sorry if that bothers you, if that hurts you, if it makes you feel like I'm picking on you. Talk to the people who call themselves Republicans, who create these kinds of bills to cause harm to Americans. And then, you know, we can have a real conversation. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
People need understanding. People need.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a new program in La Crosse trying to keep items out of dumpsters and put them to better use. Also a round of the good, the bad, and please let's not do this. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 3rd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.